How did you first become involved in the New Orleans music scene?
I grew up here, so it's natural to be involved in the music scene as soon as I was involved in music. I started playing music in Baton Rouge while I was in college up there. After college, moved back here and became enamored with this area, actually, the Frenchman area, and the things that inspire you around here. So it started right after college, being a part of what happens down here, you know?
What do you love about the Frenchman area? What inspires you about it?
I actually got a chance to live for about 2 or 3 months during one summer on Rampart Street and Esplanade. I would take walks down here, and this is where I started to figure out what New Orleans was. I grew up in the suburbs, you know. I didn't know about what this place was about until I started to live at that place on Rampart and Esplanade and take my walks down here and go play at open mics and things. And what do I love about it? It's imperfect like it should be, you know, like everything is. And it admits that, you know. It admits its imperfections and thus becomes the most natural piece of unnatural architecture, you know. It's a metropolis, you know. It admits its flaws. It's almost a personification. It moves, you know. It breathes, and it does that because it's dirty, because it smells, and it feels like it's real.
Music scene down here is really a living, breathing thing.
This festival is an excellent example of that. You know, you've got everything down to the musicians themselves. You know, a lot of these bands are good friends of mine, and you know, had some friends jump on the set, you know, earlier, and you know, it's that's what it's about. It's about the musicians collaborating. It's about these venues getting together to make this happen. It's about the sponsors, you know, picking up this thing and making it happen. And in the long term, I think we have a legitimate festival in its birth right here. I think this is going to be something special, you know. It's a good thing because it's bringing out that indie thing, you know. Indie in its little quotes, independent music, it's hard to define, but what's going on here is that young up-and-coming thing, the kids who have been inspired by the things around them. For me personally, it's been this very street, and it's been this city, and you know, everything else that's come into my life. It's so fitting for me to be a part of this, because this is the woodworks, you know, what's coming out of the woodworks. This is the young music of New Orleans, you know. It's not necessarily that Mardi Gras sound or something that sounds like New Orleans, but it is New Orleans.
You're saying you feel inspired by Frenchman, and do you have a favorite place to play on Frenchman?
Sure, yeah, I would say DBA is my favorite.
What do you love about it?
It's a fitting space, both with its size. It's the right size. It is a hall, you know. It's a tunnel, so that it hugs you, you know. It keeps you tight and intimate in that thing, and that's what I need when I'm playing. It's got a great vibe. It's a very mellow feel. Especially my favorite set over there is the 7 to 9 set, the early set. And you know, it's free to get in that set. People will walk right by and walk on in and check it out. And it's just as the sun's going down. My music is DBA as the sun goes down. You know, that is the feeling. That is what I do. And those two feelings, one my music and the other being DBA when the sun goes down. Very parallel universes in my mind, you know.
Where'd you play your first gig in New Orleans?
My first gig in New Orleans was at Carrollton Station. In fact, I cut my teeth at Carrollton Station in a lot of ways. You know, I would take, like I said, I had that place on Rampart and Esplanade, and I found out about this open mic that was going on Tuesdays at Carrollton Station. And
all
the way uptown, right. So what I did is I walked to Canal Street, took the Canal Street car to St. Charles, took St. Charles Street car all the way down, and long, long way. But it's the summer, and, you know, my job was basically doing custodial work for the place that I was living. So it was just part of being young, you know. And then I would get down there, and I'd play my songs and not necessarily get a response that really inspired me, but it was about cutting my teeth. And that's the Eric Orlando, the owner of that bar, gave me my first gig over there, you know, as an opener. And I still go over there every now and again, you know, the Tuesday open mic, because that's where it happened for me in New Orleans. That was the first spot where I started standing on a stage and playing through a public address system, letting my songs be electronically known. Going every Tuesday made me wish that I had a new song every Tuesday. Now, I didn't, but when I did, I was excited to play it. Can't tell you how many of those Tuesdays I actually wrote a song on the Tuesday, just thinking, you know, I guess subconsciously, wouldn't it be great to have a song today? It was inspiring. I keep a little notebook in my back pocket. I find myself inspired all the time, just sitting there listening to other things, other art. I feel like other art springs my own art quite naturally.
So that sort of self-pressure really helps to push you in new directions?
Self-pressure, but also the pressure from the surrounding masses, you know. I say masses, but that's probably a little optimistic. It's not masses yet, but it's great to hear somebody say, you know, when's the new record coming out, or, you know, things like that, and it makes me want to write. It makes me believe that what I'm doing matters. It's a good feeling.
Do you follow a certain structure when you're creating music? Do you do melody first, lyrics first?
Lyrics are what my songs are about. It's about the story. It's about the words. The music, if I'm honest, is secondary. The melody is important, but the music is secondary. That said, either one can come first, or they both come at the same time. It's still songwriting. It's not just writing and then finding a song that it fits in. It's still writing a song altogether. Neither one come necessarily more often than the other first. There usually is a feeling associated with the story that lends itself to the music, and vice versa. The music lends itself to a feeling of the story. That's where it starts.
So they both sort of complement each other.
No doubt about it, and that's why I enjoy this songwriting thing. That's why I'm not a poet or just a writer or an author. I enjoy writing songs because I enjoy the juxtaposition, you know, the fluid motion between the story and the melody and the music. The way that you can affect another person with the streamlined, fluid movement of that story / melody / music. You know, that's it's always moved me, and you know, that's why I enjoy trying to write in that scheme.
Do you find yourself drawn to certain topics to write about?
I want to say so. I'm more interested in the ordinary thing that has some sort of extraordinary nature that nobody picks out right off. Like an empty cup of booze over here, you know, like, why isn't that a story? That's going to get thrown away in 3 hours. But the fact is, somebody drank that. Somebody feels that. That's resting there, you know, and it tells a story by itself. You know, there's so many mundane things that tell a story. And it's about appreciating the honesty in everything. Everything, especially in this city. Like I said, the city is very honest. Just in its physical nature, it is physically honest because it's dirty and it's broken. As far as what I'm drawn to write, it's about the things that I believe harken the human condition. You know, the pieces of me that might seem ordinary at first glance, but then when I realize and I'm just completely honest with them, I become convinced that they are part of everyone. That's why I have to be completely honest with them. The first thing that I ever read that introduced me to my own will was a Ralph Waldo Emerson essay called Self-Reliance. And the second line in that essay is, to believe that what is true for you in your own private heart is true for every man. That is genius. And that's what I'm doing. I'm believing that what is true for me in my own private heart might just be true for every man. And believing that it might be genius, and just singing it. Just singing it loud and letting it be what it is. And then the reaction comes after that, you know, whether or not it's been powerful or not.